Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. Welcome to the program. Companies across the country and here in Michigan still laying workers off every month. We'll get the latest numbers and find out how layoffs can keep coming after so many jobs have already been lost. And a court announcing once again that the Michigan welfare benefit cuts cannot proceed. A news conference held this morning declaring that 100, not 11,000 families should be cut off. I'll talk to the head of the Michigan League for Human Services about it. But first, as all kinds of education reform bills are making their way through the Capitol, perhaps the most significant are the ones that remove the caps on charter and cyber schools, proponents declaring that parents should have more choices, especially when struggling schools are involved. To talk about what the impact of this legislation would have on the Lansing School District, I'm joined by Superintendent Dr. T.C. Wallace, Jr. Welcome to the program, Dr. Wallace.
Good afternoon or early evening, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Yep, 6 o'clock, right in between. Hard to tell which one it is.
Absolutely.
So, the Michigan Department of Education's top-to-bottom rankings released earlier this year listed schools, in order of best to worst in percentile groups. It found that many of Lansing's schools in our district here were in or below the 20th percentile. If we were to see no limit on charter schools, would you expect a major expansion of these schools in the Lansing area?
Well, I would not. The opportunity for charter schools, I understand the cap, but as we see charter schools shutting their doors during the time that I have been here, that suggests to me that lifting the cap is not significant to Lansing, because there have been several charter schools that have closed their doors in the last 5 years that I've been here, and they've not been replaced by other charter schools.
Hmm.
So lifting the cap does not appear that it will impact Lansing at this time.
Now, why were these charter schools failing then?
I think two things: funding and perhaps success rates. Because obviously, whether you're public or charter, if you're not delivering what your parents want, then that will have a negative impact on the ability to continue to operate.
Well,
so I think those are the two factors that I've heard most, that they were not able to sustain their programs, financially, and they were forced to shut their doors.
Well, in this case, though, charters would receive their funding directly from the money that would go to a traditional school. The money would follow the students. And I wonder, this idea that parents should have the ability to choose a different school beyond a charter, maybe schools in different school districts, if they feel the one that their child is attending isn't effectively educating them. I think most parents would agree that that's a good idea. Do you agree that they do need to have more choices?
Well, I think they need to have choice. I'm not convinced that widespread choice is the answer. When I look at a Lansing, I support fully the opportunity for parents to utilize choice, within the Lansing School District, first of all. And there are rare occasions that other schools outside of Lansing may offer programs that are of interest to parents. In those cases, I support choice, because that's exactly what Lansing does.
Mm-hmm.
We offer 11 significantly different programs, and as a result of that, parents in the surrounding areas are choosing to come to Lansing to take advantage of those programs.
So I
support it. In that limited context.
I need to ask you, though, I guess, you hear the opponents of charter schools and the MEA saying that this would have a major impact on traditional schools, on the funding of our traditional schools. It sounds like you don't feel that this charter expansion or the uncapping of charter schools in Michigan would really be any kind of real threat.
No, I'm very neutral on the position of whether to increase or maintain the cap, because our experience here in Lansing is that we're not in competition with charters. Do some of our youngsters and parents elect charters? Absolutely. But that number is not significant and does not, dramatically impact Lansing.
Although that might change if there is no cap, and if charters are then allowed to take students, and the state money would follow the students, in a sense, that's where the funding would come from. So they certainly wouldn't have a problem with funding. Would that not be a way to draw money away from traditional schools?
Oh, absolutely. If, the pot is somewhat limited and is insufficient to serve public schools as we know them, if that's chipped away at by charters, it's going to negatively impact public schools and create more economic financial issues for public schools, and that we don't need.
I'm talking to Lansing School District Superintendent Dr. T.C. Wallace, Jr. I want to ask you about this this bill that's being considered or proposed to make the Pledge of Allegiance, the recitation of it, a requirement here in the state. How does the Lansing School District currently handle a policy, or does it have a policy on the Pledge of Allegiance, and would you support this kind of a requirement?
Well, I growing up in public schools for the last, 60-plus years, that has been a part of my experience. I think we have to be careful in analyzing the detail of that bill. For example, I'm told that one of the requirements may be that there is a flag in every room within the school district. That sounds on its face to be very insignificant, but it really results in an unfunded mandate should that bill pass, which would then, require revenue to purchase.
But you're not
and have those flags.
You're not opposed though to the concept of children in the classroom being required to say the pledge, though.
No, we do it at every board meeting.
Nice.
And it's something that has been a part of, my childhood and my adulthood, and I continue to fully support it. I just want to watch to make certain that there are no unintended consequences or unfunded mandates that come with it.
I also want to ask you about a proposal in the state Senate that would cap the salaries of superintendents across Michigan to that of the state superintendent, Michael Flanagan, who makes $184,000 a year. Apparently, some superintendents in the state make well over $300,000 annually. Do you agree that that's a bit too much and a limit should be imposed?
Well, what I've heard is that there are 30 that are over 200,000. If there's one or more at the $300,000 mark, that would be rare. And I don't have enough independent knowledge to know whether that exists, but I am aware of the 30 that exceed 200. Now, I think what is not taken into consideration with that particular bill is longevity. And, I use myself as an example. This is my 25th year as a school superintendent. And, should we be promoting something that says a first-year superintendent may earn the same amount as a veteran superintendent? Those over 30, those 30 that are over $200,000, I would suggest that there's longevity.
That's also a factor, yep.
Yeah.
Lansing School District Superintendent Dr. T.C. Wallace, Jr., thank you very much for joining me.
You're certainly welcome, Mike. Have a great evening.
You too.